I knew I didn't want to be a secretary. I knew even that I knew that was that one wasn't for me either. So that left me down with being a teacher. So on the farm, we were greatly impressed. Let me see. There was a woman who was a graduate home economist who came around and helped you with canning and a home demonstration agent. That was a term I was trying to think of and couldn't. The home demonstration agent, and she was a home economist, and my mother was so impressed with this woman that it was determined that I would become a home economics teacher.
So in other words, these people were kind of bringing advanced technology. So they were technology leaders or technology.
This was all out of the Department of Agriculture at the University of Missouri, and then she came out of Keytesville, Missouri, and then traveled around and helped all the farm women. And she could help you with sewing. She could help you with canning. She could help you with all of these things. And
so in today's world, we call that the extension department of the university.
That's right. It was a part of the extension department of the University of Missouri Department of Agriculture. That's right.
Now, Kitty, tell me just quickly a bit more about the turkeys that you raised. How many did you raise? How did you sell them? Who did you sell them to?
Well, there was a turkey processing plant at Brunswick, Missouri, and. And that was a full-time job, let me tell you. I shepherd these around. I had two fishing bamboo poles, and I moved them around that way. And, and the darn things would fly over and get on the neighbor's watering tank. And he would call up, and he would call my mother, and he'd say, "Tell Catherine that her turkeys are on my watering tank." And of course, I had to get over and get there and get my poles going and get the turkeys back over, because they would fly, and I didn't want to break their, you can break their wings, but then you have to then your turkeys are graded down. And I didn't want to do that because I was trying to get as much money as I could.
So the buyer was the
Turkey processing plant at Brunswick, Missouri.
And they would pay just the market price of that day?
Actually, we sold them for the Thanksgiving market. And so then actually my mother and dad finally had to finish them up. But I took them from the little fuzzy stage all the way up. Well, they were getting to be big. And of course, then we took them through the wheat field, and they cleaned up the wheat and that kind of thing, and to feed them. I shepherd them around over the farm in order to feed them, in order to make as much money as I could. So already my only investment was in the little turkeys. And
this is CEO at an early age.
And I can still remember, actually that worked really very well, because those big old long bamboo poles, and I could get them and they weren't too hard to move around. Of course, I got pretty good at it, but it was a daily job, But anyway, that's how I got started to go to college. And then things were beginning to get a little bit better, and so then I transferred up to Iowa State.
Why Iowa State?
Because Minnesota won't accept what I'm going to say, but it was my understanding that Iowa State had the best school for home economics of any of the schools. And
you mean the University of Missouri?
What?
You mean the University of Missouri?
No. I really mean the University of Minnesota.
You were considering Minnesota too?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've said this poorly. The University of Minnesota felt that they were superior to Iowa State in the area of home economics, and Iowa was very jealous of their home economics school, and so there was a real rivalry there that I shouldn't have even brought that up. Scratch that. Iowa State had a very, very strong home economics department.
But if you've got in Minnesota, you've been a long ways from home.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it costs more money up there, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think when I went to school, I think it was $45 a quarter. Mm-hmm. And then...
I even think even almost in my lifetime, as a little bitty boy, the road from where in central Missouri to Iowa State was only about 200 or 300 miles or so. But there was no interstate highways, and there were patches where there was gravel. So it was a tough trip.
That's right.
Back and forth.
There was.
So this was in 1942?
Let's see. I was at Iowa State for 2 years there. And at the end, and of course along in here, I met this Clifford Hock. And I was first impressed with him because at the Christian Church, I went to the college group there, and he was in that group. And they had a program one time, or they had a party one time for all the college kids. And the entertainment was one Clifford Hock with science experiments. And he had a whole series, he did things with dry ice and, you know, anymore I don't know, but I remember he had a clock reaction. And he told us what time that this cloudy precipitate would go perfectly clear. And everybody was watching, and bingo, it did. Man, I was impressed with this guy. So anyway, and then of course in there, it was one of these Christian church parties that I said something about my birthday being like tomorrow or something. And he said, gee, mine is too. And flowers were delivered on that day. So I realized that that was the beginning of a nice relationship. One of your questions here, the origin of interest in business and entrepreneurship. Well, I would say, you know, with my turkeys and so forth, you know, I was already really interested. Let me pause here and say, my grandmother Brown, my mother's mother, was the first woman to have a driver's license in Sheraton County. She drove her own Buick, and she was the first woman I ever knew who invested in the stock market. And she invested in AT&T. She made a lot of money, and she had 400 acres. Her husband died when he was 41 or 42. She raised 8 children. She was a CEO, and that was my grandmother Brown, and that's where my Louise comes from, my Catherine Louise. I'm Grandma Lou. Business was something that I was always interested in. But now I want to come back and tell you that I had a date with this guy Clifford Hock, and here he comes up to the door, and he has this nice little package all wrapped up, and I thought, oh, it's a box of candy and something. And so he gave me this package, and I opened it up, and there was a book for me to read by Dr. Otto Eisenschimmel on how I built the Sun Chemical Company. And he said, I want you to read this because we're going to build a chemical company.
Boy.
And so that was clear back in those days. Dr. Otto Eisenschimmel of the Sun Chemical Company.
Where is Sun Chemical Company?
It was in Pennsylvania, I think, somewhere.
Yes, we must look that up. Have you still got it?
No, I don't have the book anymore, and I ought to really try and find it. But it was that was what I remember was the title, How I Built, and Dr. Eisenschimmel referred a great deal to his wife in the book because she was his business partner. Mm-hmm. So okay.
Oh. And this is before you're married.
Oh, yeah. This was on a date. Yes.
Not your very first date.
No, things were developing.
Was this post Pearl Harbor or pre Pearl Harbor?
This was post, but because Clifford was over at the last.
So
see, he had
the war effort.
He kind of had a little bit of money because he was being paid now, because he was on the Ames lab, and of course, this was the Manhattan Project. I haven't said that, but
yes.
Obviously,
yeah.
This was the Manhattan Project that all these guys were on.
Yes. Can we just focus to chronology there a little bit? Clifford meets Harvey Deal when, what, in about 1942?
I would say that was about 1940. I think Cliff started to college in 38.
I think I heard the fall of 38.
Yeah, and so he would have met Deal then in 40.
Right.
And I think the war hadn't started,
okay.
Obviously,
oh, right.
Yet.
Yeah, so he's in theory, if he hadn't switched fields and so on, he would have been getting close to graduation.
That's
and,
right.
And then, but Pearl Harbor comes, he switched fields, and this is, and he's met Harvey Deal, and Harvey, as we get into 1942, he begins to get pulled into this other stuff. Is that
all
right?
That's right. Okay. Yes. And let's see. And I started to college in 1940. I transferred to Iowa State in 41, and
41. It was 40, just after 1 year.
In the fall of 41, because I was there 41, 42, and then Cliff and I were married on June the 4th of 1943 at the end of my junior year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I did not, and then I never got to go back after that. But then Clifford hadn't graduated either.
Yeah.
And
you met him in your first year at Iowa State?
And then we dated that next year, and then we were married in at the end of my junior year.
So when you first met, he was just going through this transition through chemical engineering to
well,
chemistry.
Well, when I met him, he was already into the chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I did not know him at the electrical engineering time.
And he was already getting, he was already being paid by Harvey Deal.
By Harvey Deal, and he had that the work on the CO2, but then came the Manhattan Project.
Yeah.
after that.
Yeah. So in a certain sense, he already knew where he was going when you met, and hence the book.
and the CO2 really did not work well enough. I can tell you about there were fires and explosions, and the guys were in the hospital, and there was all kinds of things that went on with the CO2. So it was obvious that the dust problem was something that they were never able to. The more that you transported, I'm just sorry, I can't say the name of that compound that was an oxygen carrier.
The problem is oxygen carriers are explosive.
That's the problem. And so they gave all of the work to Clifford, and then that was the work then that he sold to the Walter Kiddy Company, KIDDE, who made the fire extinguishers.
The story I always heard, and I've never heard this really clarified, but the purpose of this, the carbon dioxide fire extinguisher, was primarily, as I understood it, was for ships, because when the ship would catch on fire,
mm-hmm.
out in the ocean, the only other source of putting out would be your freshwater supply, which would be very, very limited. So when that was gone, there was just really nothing else you could do.
Couldn't they use ocean pump ocean water for fighting fires?
I would think the carbon dioxide would just, you know, fill the. The problem if you do it with water, you'll sink the ship.
Right.
The other
problem is the kind of fire you have if you've been attacked, is not. It may not go out by water. In other words, you're going to need to smother the fire.
Yeah.
You know, if it's phosphorus burning, pouring water on it won't put it out, it'll spread it around.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, so there's good reason to use CO2 to simply dampen
and
smother
it. And it's lighted weight. So
yes.
It's,
yes, if you could, if you had plenty
if
of,
had
it,
plenty
it would
of
be brilliant if you could do it.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant idea.
Right.
Yeah. So that was, So the ocean water, salt water, even though there's sodium in the water, that will still, can extinguish a fire, but it's extreme weight, so it's the weight is the issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you two guys are, you're fairly busy graduating, I assume, or studying.
I beg your pardon?
You're fairly busy studying and finishing your
degree. I didn't get to graduate. Now, see, this came up in, we were married in 43.
Mm-hmm.
And Clifford then continued on with the Manhattan Project. And there was no money, and then there came a little girl along, and so I did not get to finish, just period.
Okay. Just pause, the getting married, you went home to get married, did you, or what?
No, we were married at Iowa State, and I took my last exam, and I got a B on it in economics on June the 4th that morning, and we were married that afternoon at 4 o'clock, and then came back to Ames, and
rented apartment or?
Yeah, just went to the apartment and we had a little three-room apartment. And of course, then Clifford just continued on then
What did your families think of this?
Horrified.
Mm-hmm.
Very unhappy. Mm-hmm. And my mother did not like Clifford because she felt that he had been a bad influence on me.
I presume he wasn't smoking and drinking. What was the nature of the bad influence? I mean, what was?
No, he didn't smoke and he didn't drink. No. That was never a problem.
And you went to the church together?
Yes. Well, we went to church, and we were very active in the young people's group there. And her expression was, "He took away from Daddy and me the most precious thing we ever had." So maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be any man would be disapproved of.
I think that's right. Nobody, no one was good enough for Catherine, in her mind.
Well, here, just to throw this out, I mean, did your parents sort of perceive that Clifford's family kind of came from a little bit of a lower class? I mean, they were kind of Czechoslovakian.
They were Czechs, that's right.
Czech German hand farmers. And there was, down in Missouri, it was the north. It was the north tip of the South, and farmers down there was a little bit more aristocratic, and you're a Carter. Gosh, he's a
a
Bohemian.
And my mother was British, the Browns.
You're a little bit better lineage, I guess.
Yes. They felt they were classier people. And so that was.
Did they come to the wedding?
Oh yes. They came. And it was a very simple wedding that we put on ourselves. I'd say compared to these weddings today that cost $50,000 or $100,000 or whatever, this was not it at all. It it was just punch and cake in the church reception parlor afterwards.
What did his parents think about it?
I think they never knew what to do with Clifford from the very beginning. And and I think they liked me. And I liked Mr. and Mrs. Hawk. They were very fine, very genuine, hardworking people. And I got along with them very well. Cliff used to tell the story that just before my mother passed away, she said to him, "Cliff, as a son-in-law, you haven't been too bad."
It's a disastrous pedigree.
but as Cliff said, but it took until she was 91 years old for her to say that.
You know, though, I've always been intrigued, though, that the two families, even though they had kind of something in common, came from really very, very different, social, cultural environments.
Absolutely.
Because yes. up in Iowa, the Czech farmers were wearing bib overalls. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they would wear to church. They would actually have a shirt and tie and then bib overalls on top of that.
And that's right. That was dressed up.
Yeah.
With the shirt and
they did absolutely everything themselves. I even remember mm-hmm. once watching Clifford's father change a tire on a tractor by himself, with a pulley, and tip the tractor up and change the tire, or the pulley off a branch of a tree. And Kitty's parents were much more refined, I guess. They would wear, I think your father would wear a tie all day long. Well, it seemed like...
He would wear a suit coat, or he would wear a suit to church.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they would stay dressed up all day on Sunday.
And my mother wore gloves to church, and we always wore a hat.
So there was a little bit of a northern-southern split in culture.
Did you see much of either family after you were married?
Of course, my folks wanted to keep in touch, and so we went back and forth, and I saw the people over at Marshalltown, and I liked Cliff's brothers and sisters. We got along just fine, and so I would say that we had a very normal, casual friendship. Nothing real big about it, but it was. I think it was adequate.
Well, you were a crazy couple.
Oh yeah, we were. That's right.
Well, Kitty's father died though in 1952, and so her mother then remained a widow, but she lived till 93. But one thing that might have been a minor problem, I could almost see it now, but I sure couldn't then. Your mother just had no idea what a chemist was.
No,
chemistry
that's right.
It was so abstract that it was hard to sink your, it was hard to gain a sense of confidence in something you just don't understand.
Yeah. Well, and you have to understand now, we started this chemical company with a bunch of graduate students working on building this three-room building that we started. You know, somebody somewhere had said that Hawk started in a garage. That really isn't true. There was this $15,000 that became a... Clifford bought 1 acre of land for, I think, $540 that was in a floodplain on the south side of Ames, Iowa. And we built a three-room cement block building, and that was the beginning of the Hawk Chemical Company.
That was in which?
47.
Yes. Just let's go more slowly, if we may, between 43 and 47.
But, all right.
You're married.
Yes.
You've dropped out.
I dropped out of school.
And Cliff is working on these different projects and ventures.
I was doing some work, too, and trying to put you know, put food on the table.
Which was what?
I worked in a clothing store. I ran a little catering service. I just did everything I could to try and make some money.
And so this, for the next couple of years, you're living like this, are you?
That's right.
Through 1945, Clifford is intending to finish his degree when the war is over, or what's the operating plan when you're first married?
Well, we probably didn't. Today, I would tell you, we did not have a business plan, and that, you know, you're just trying to keep everything held together here, but we knew we had to get, when the war would be over, that we had to get Cliff back into school. Now, there is one little pause in here that I haven't mentioned, and that was that we moved. Walter Kitty wanted Clifford to come along with the invention. And so we were in New Jersey for about a year, I think, and he worked then at Walter Kitty getting the transition with this CO2 invention.
When was that?
Well, this would have been 40. Boy, I tell you, I'm gonna have to do some looking.
That's fine.
Okay,
that's
because fine. I can't exactly. What year were you born?
46.
46.
So you had been there.
And
45.
Bruce was born in New Jersey, so that would have been 45 and 46 then, or part of 45 and part of 46.
Was it a condition of the grant, the patent award of $15,000? Was it a condition that you actually had to move there? I mean, if you had not moved to New Jersey, would you have gotten that money?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, Bruce, whether or not that was actually
a condition.
You know, I'm almost going to say that it was.
Well, I thought it was too. I thought,
yeah,
I always heard that it was.
That he had that
to get the money, you got to come and see and work on the project.
Project to get
in New Jersey.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So this is immediately after the end of the war, is it?
Yeah.
That would be right. Immediately after the end of the war.
Mm-hmm. So then that actually created a
because you were 4 months old when we came back to Iowa, because. At least we finally said, we've got to get Cliff's degree and finish
that. I can see the dilemma. If you can't have the money unless you move to New Jersey, if you wait another year or two, probably the offer would be retracted. So there might, it sounded like there would be a lot of conflict
there. There was a lawyer involved by the name of Mr. Neville. And actually, Bruce, I don't really know what the details were. But we did go to New Jersey, mm-hmm. And we were there during that period, and you were born in May of 47, and then...
And that was actually the attempt to try to launch these carbon dioxide extinguishers, to try to convert them from theory to a...
Well, they were in the CO2 business, you know, the Walter Kitty fire extinguishers of CO2, so yeah. He was in a research group that did all of that work at Walter Kitty. And it completed.
So between 43 and 45, somewhere in there, and the stuff that's going on here is the ideas. Did they try, was there a patent?
Yes, there was a patent. Yes, that was Anne, and the patent was issued to Clifford, and then Clifford sold that then to Walter Kitty.
Okay. And you mentioned the birth of a little girl here somewhere.
Yes. Mary was born in 44.
44.
Okay. Yes. Okay. And you were born in 46.
46.
Okay.
Okay. And so there's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, we were just terrible.
but including I mean, it's very interesting against the year, against where we live now. I mean, this is the classic university-linked research, innovation, startup, business stuff.
Yeah.
But it isn't so well known at that time that you could do this.
No.
I mean, you were doing something that basically, in a certain sense, Clifford was doing what he shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, that's right. But when we, still, he had not graduated. And this really isn't important, but Ballantine Beer wanted him. And they actually gave him...